Let's pray. Oh God, you make us glad by the yearly celebration of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who joyfully receive him as our Redeemer may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Let me add my greeting and Merry Christmas to all of you. I want to begin by reading from this devotional. This is a collection of writings from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's called God is in the Manger, and this particular reading is called The Power and Glory of the Manger. For the great and powerful of this world, there are only two places in which their courage fails them, of which they are afraid deep down in their souls, from which they shy away. These are the manger and the cross of Jesus Christ. No powerful person dares to approach the manger, and this even includes King Herod. For this is where thrones shake, the mighty fall, the prominent perish, because God is with the lowly. Here the rich come to nothing because God is with the poor and hungry, but the rich and satisfied he sends away empty. Before Mary the maid, before the manger of Christ, before God in lowliness, the powerful come to naught. Who among us will celebrate Christmas correctly? Whoever finally lays down all power, all honor, all reputation, all vanity, all arrogance, all individualism beside the manger. Whoever remains lowly and lets God alone be high. Whoever looks at the child in the manger and sees the glory of God precisely in his lowliness. Earlier this week, my wife Stephanie was making tiki mix. Tiki mix is like peanuts and pineapple and bacon. I mean, need I say go further? And it like gets all mixed up and baked. It's really good, delicious. And she makes this stuff because she decorates bags and she takes these gifts to people, primarily people that she works with at school. And there's only one tiny little bag that we get to keep at home. And this stuff is really good, like I said. So, and especially, I just pick out all the bacon. I was sad to see it go, but I was delighted that on Tuesday afternoon when she got back from school, that she brought two bags back with her. And I said, so were the people that you were going to give them to not there? And she said, no, I always take extra. That way, if someone gives me a gift that I wasn't expecting, then I have something to give them. And I was like, brilliant. And that works out great because now I have more to eat. And it also gave me an idea for the message tonight. Because you see, Christmas and Easter, by far, are the hardest messages to prepare. Why? Well, because it's the same reading, year after year after year after year. And so you've got to, you know, look for different ways, different stories, life circumstances, you know, just looking for different ways to communicate what the story is all about. And tiki mix, these extra bags of tiki mix, helped me out this year. Really, as I was thinking about this message tonight, it started with the Bonhoeffer devotion that I just read. When we read that around our table as a family one evening during Advent, it really gripped me, this whole idea of the reversal of Christmas, the upside-down nature of Christmas. And then, with that kind of rumbling around in my head, this tiki mix incident occurred, and it just made me start to think about the challenges of giving gifts and then receiving gifts and that kind of thing, which led to a conversation with Nick Comiskey, our lead pastor for our mission congregation. And then he recommended that I read another devotion by a man named William Willimon, which I read, and then that finally led to this message. Now, I know you just want to eat the sausage. You don't want to know how it's made. But I'm telling you this because it's important tonight that you understand that on Thursday, I had nothing to share with you. On Thursday, I was an empty-handed beggar in need of something to say on the most important night of the year. And so this message really was a welcomed gift that I received from a variety of sources, as I mentioned. Now back to the tiki mix. Most of us can relate to receiving a gift that we weren't expecting, right? Someone you don't really know that well comes and gives you a gift, and you're like, whoa, I wasn't really expecting this. It's a good gift. What's your first thought? I got to give them something in return, right? I mean, it's just natural. It's just what we think. You got to give them something in return. So you take extra bags of tiki mix, right? I mean, it's a smart strategy. And why do we feel that way? Why do we feel that way? What's going on? Well, I think on a simple level, you know, we just don't want to be rude. It's like, well, if someone gives you something, you want to give them something in return, of course. But at a deeper level, I think we don't want to be in debt. We don't want to be in debt. We don't want to feel guilty. And this unexpected gift somehow lays a claim on us. You know, it's uncomfortable until we have reciprocated. By giving us a gift, somehow this person has assumed some sort of power over us. And while it is more blessed to give than to receive, I mean, Jesus said so, right? I think that it's more difficult to receive. You know, how do you react when someone gives you a compliment? You know, you can read dozens and dozens of articles online about why psychologically it's more difficult to receive a gift than it is to give one. But no worries, Christmas is the season of giving, right? The Magi, they come bringing their gifts. And I just want to show you this because this is another inspiration for my Christmas season. This Far Side. Unbeknownst to most theologians, there was a fourth wise man who was turned away for bringing a fruitcake. That has nothing to do with the message. I just liked it. You know, we love Christmas. Christmas is a season to celebrate generosity, and we want to be benevolent, giving people. Being generous feels good, doesn't it? It just feels good. We love Christmas, as we say, because it brings out the best in us. Everyone gives on Christmas, even Scrooge. And again, I think we're better at giving than we are at receiving. In part because we are generous. But I think it's also more difficult to receive than to give. I think that's true also because we are proud people. We're self-reliant people. Luke's Christmas story is not about how blessed it is to give. Rather, Luke's Christmas story is about how important it is that we receive. But we prefer to be givers, powerful, self-sufficient people. And while all well and good, that is not the biblical story of Christmas. There we are portrayed not as the givers that we want to be, but as the receivers we need to be. And Luke's story demonstrates that even with all of our power, all of our capabilities, we had very little to nothing to do with what God was doing in Jesus. God wanted to do something so entirely beyond our imagination, our understanding, that he resorted to a pregnant virgin. You know, we didn't think of it, we didn't understand it, we didn't approve of it. All we can do is receive it, an unexpected gift. You know, the gospel of our age is this, that you have the power within you. You have the solution within you to whatever it is that ails you. But the true gospel that has been unveiled to us in Jesus demonstrates that the solution to what ails us has very little to do with us. You know, after giving us the law and sending the prophets, God did something so unimaginable. God gave us a solution that was so unexpected that many missed it. The Christmas story is all about an unexpected gift, a gift so contrary to the ways of the world that almost no one recognized it. And that's why the Christmas story, most fundamentally, is a story about receiving. Being a Christian is to be one who first receives before we give. And that's tough because we'd rather be givers. Being givers allows us to have that sense of power, to stand on our own, to be in charge. We don't want to be dependent. We don't like being needy. I don't like the feeling of being at Thursday and having nothing to say. Willimon makes a brilliant point in his devotional. He talks about why many children in our culture of self-sufficiency, in time they come to disrespect their parents. I know, kids, it's not a message you want to hear on Christmas Eve. I'm sorry. But he talks about how oftentimes kids in our culture will disrespect their parents because it's humbling to have to admit that all our talents and capabilities come to us as gifts from our parents. We would rather be self-made, standing on our own two feet, you know, going boldly where no one has ever gone before. And he says, that's why it's so humbling at 21 to look in the mirror and say, my God, I look just like my old man. You know, it's tough to see our lives not as our own possessions, but as gifts that we have received from God. John Wesley, Anglican clergyman, said a long time ago, nothing is more repugnant to capable, reasonable people than grace. A familiar Christmas passage out of Isaiah. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Some of us know that verse, but what we don't know often is the context around it. And the context is Isaiah the prophet has been telling King Ahaz not to put his trust in making alliances with strong military powers, but rather he should put his trust in God's provision. He says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And then he tells this fearful Ahaz that God is going to give him a sign. And the sign is a baby. And with the Assyrians ready to invade, Ahaz has got to be thinking, a baby? What? I don't need a baby. I need a powerful army. This is God's love. An unexpected gift that we didn't know that we needed, that transforms us into spiritual beggars that we're not sure we want to be. You know, at least some of us, we know how to play the humble Christian part. But the truth is that, you know, we want to look the part while just stubbornly holding on to our power and self-reliance. But God comes to us. He comes to us. Those of us who insist on maintaining our power and pride, and He gives us an unexpected gift. He gives us a baby in a manger that calls us to see ourselves as we really are before God, empty-handed beggars in need of His grace. As the Christmas hymn says, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. God bless you. Merry Christmas.
Please feel free to either remain seated or kneel as we pray together.